Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome. So if you've ever, sat through a really dull presentation or felt like your own idea just didn't land, maybe got lost somewhere.
Happens all the time.
Or even wondered why some talks just seem to catch fire and go viral while others, well, they just vanish.
Yeah.
Then this deep dive is definitely for you. We are getting into the definitive guide, Chris Anderson's TED Talks, the official TED guide to public speaking.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack this because why this book? Why now? Anderson makes a pretty compelling case that we're in a sort of renaissance of public speaking.
A renaissance? How so?
Well, think about it. For centuries, right, communication was limited. Geography, print, those were the bottlenecks.
Yeah.
But the internet, it's completely changed the game. It amplifies, well, potentially every individual voice globally.
Okay, so the stakes are just much higher now.
Precisely. Anderson actually argues that presentation literacy, the skill of getting complex ideas across clearly, persuasively, it's becoming just as vital as basic reading and writing.
Wow. As fundamental as literacy itself.
Yeah. Think about the sheer amount of information we're all swimming in. The differentiator isn't just what you know anymore. It's how effectively you can transfer that knowledge, that idea, into someone else's mind.
Gotcha. So our mission today really is to try and decode what separates those truly transformative, idea-shifting talks from, well, all the noise.
Right. And it's not about some magic trick or secret sauce.
No, it seems like it's more about understanding the fundamental architecture, the structure underneath it all.
Exactly. And maybe we should start with the author himself, Chris Anderson. Who is this guy?
Yeah, good question. He's in a pretty unique spot, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's been the head curator, the big boss at TED since 2001.
Right. And what's really interesting, I think, is that he wasn't like some celebrity speaker who just decided to write a book based on his own stage time.
No, his background is different. Journalism, tech, entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. He's the one with the vision who took TED from this, small, pretty exclusive conference.
Yeah, kind of elite.
And turned it into this massive global library of ideas by making the talks free online.
That availability changed everything.
It really did. And so his authority, it doesn't come from being one great speaker. It comes from, you could almost call it a big data perspective on communication.
Big data. How so?
Well, he hasn't just given talks. He's personally coached hundreds, maybe thousands of speakers. He's overseen over 3,000 talks now.
Wow.
Talks that have billions of views collectively. So he's analyzed the patterns, the common threads, the sort of structural DNA, you could say, that makes the exceptional talks stand out.
That's where it gets really insightful, I think. He's not just sharing his own opinions. He's distilling wisdom from, from the world's most effective communicators, right?
Exactly. He's filtering out the noise, the superficial stuff, the performance tips that don't really matter. His focus is totally substance first.
Proving that it's not about some innate talent or, being born charismatic.
He completely rejects that myth of the born performer. I mean, the book's core argument is actually beautifully simple.
Which is?
That great public speaking, it's a system, it's learnable, and it's built entirely around the idea itself.
Ah, okay. So if the idea isn't solid, if it isn't worth spreading,
then no amount of fancy staging or dramatic delivery is going to save it. It just won't work.
So the number one thing, the absolute priority, is having an idea worth spreading.
Yes. And a great talk, the way Anderson defines it, is when that complex pattern of meaning that exists in your brain gets successfully, accurately rebuilt inside the listener's brain. It's really an act of intellectual transfer.
Intellectual transfer, like that.
Yeah. And the book, it basically functions as the manual for that whole process. It goes way beyond just tips on, how to stand or where to look.
Right. It's getting into the deeper, what do you call it? The architecture of idea sharing.
Exactly. And thinking about it that way, it kind of changes everything, doesn't it? It stops being about how do I look or am I confident enough?
And becomes more about how clearly am I building this bridge for the audience?
Precisely. And I really appreciate how he pushes back against the idea of speaking as just a performance.
Yeah, me too.
Instead, he reframes it. A great talk is an act of generosity. It's a gift.
A gift of knowledge or insight or maybe just a new way of seeing things.
Exactly. You're there fundamentally to serve the audience, not to, show off or build your own brand.
And that shift in mindset, I mean, that feels huge. Moving from worrying about performance anxiety to focusing on serving the audience, he suggests that's actually the best way to deal with the fear, right?
It's probably the most potent tool he offers against stage fright.
Yeah.
Because suddenly your energy is focused outward on the gift you're giving, not inward on your own nerves.
So the whole preparation process then becomes about maximizing that gift.
Right. Finding that core idea, that kernel worth sharing, and then building the structure, the through line, he calls it, to support it effectively.
Okay, let's shift gears and talk about that structure, the through line. That sounds really central.
Oh, it's absolutely foundational. It's not just like a theme or a general topic.
No.
No, it's the mandatory backbone. It's the single unifying thread that has to connect every single element of the talk, every story, every piece of data, every point you make.
It's the glue holding it all together.
Exactly. It demands focus.
Yeah.
And Anderson gives this like ultimate quality check. It's brilliant.
What is it?
He says, if you cannot summarize your entire presentation in one single, concise, compelling sentence, then you probably don't have a coherent through line. You haven't found it yet.
Wow. One sentence. That's a tough test. But I can see why it's necessary.
Totally necessary. Because it forces clarity. And it helps you avoid those common traps he warns about. The ones that just instantly kill any chance of sharing a meaningful idea.
Right. The pitfalls. There were four, weren't there?
Yep. The four big ones. And we've all seen them, right? First, the sales pitch.
Mm-hmm. Where it feels like they're just trying to sell you something, not share an idea.
Exactly. Or number two, the disorganized ramble. Just ideas all over the place, no clear connection, no point.
Rainful.
Then there's the org bore.
The internal jargon, the acronyms nobody outside the company understands.
Yeah, the stuff that just completely alienates anyone not in the know. Mm. And the fourth one, which maybe is the trickiest.
The inspiration performance.
Yeah, where, you know, the delivery is amazing, the person is super charismatic, the stage presence is incredible.
But afterwards you think, what was that actually about?
Exactly. All style, no substance. Like, yeah. Sugar water feels good for a second, but leaves nothing lasting. The through line is your defense against all of those.
Okay, so structure is crucial. Through line is key. But that's not the whole story, is it?
No, not at all. Because before an audience is willing to even consider your idea, they have to connect with you.
Right. The human element.
Yes. Genuine connection. And that requires authenticity. He really stresses this. Audiences have, like, unbelievably good detectors for insincerity.
Okay. But what if you're naturally a bit reserved? How do you do that strategic vulnerability thing he talks about without it feeling, I don't know, forced or manipulative?
That's a great question. And the key word is strategic. It's not about oversharing or, you know, having a therapy session on stage.
Right.
Strategic vulnerability means sharing a struggle or maybe a failure that's relevant to the idea you're presenting, something that relates to your journey with that idea.
Ah, so it serves the through line too.
Exactly. It makes you relatable, human, yeah. Trustworthy. He also talks about, you know, the basics, using humor appropriately, making eye contact, showing genuine emotion that fits the topic. That's how you earn the audience's trust, earn the right to share your idea.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about being real, but purposefully real.
Yeah. And that leads us nicely into the specific tools he outlines for building the actual content of the talk.
The talk tools.
Yeah.
First one is narration, storytelling.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't surprising, right? We are absolutely wired for stories. They grab our attention, engage our emotions in a way that, you know, just listing facts never can.
But he's careful to say they aren't just like little entertainment breaks, right?
Absolutely not. The stories must serve the through line. Every story needs that classic structure. You know, and you have a protagonist, some kind of conflict or challenge, and a resolution.
And the resolution has to illuminate the main idea.
Precisely. Think about Sir Ken Robinson's famous TED Talk on education.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant talk.
His personal stories, the funny anecdotes, they weren't random jokes. They were the vehicles he used to make you feel the systemic problems in education he wanted you to understand.
Gotcha. Okay. So storytelling is key. What's next?
The challenge of explanation. This is where, honestly, a lot of really smart people, a lot of experts fall down.
How do you make something complex actually accessible, especially to a general audience?
Yeah, it's tough. And the big hurdle is something called the curse of knowledge.
The curse of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Sounds ominous.
It kind of is. It's the idea that once you know something really well, it becomes incredibly difficult to remember what it was like not to know it.
Ah, so you skip the basics, you use jargon.
Exactly. You assume knowledge the audience doesn't have. The antidote, Anderson says, boils down to one thing. Deep empathy.
Empathy.
Yeah.
Okay, but how do you practice that? How do you build that empathetic bridge?
You have to start where the audience is. anchor the new complex thing in something they already understand.
So using analogies, metaphors.
Yes, definitely. Both structural analogies, this complex system works kind of like the simpler system, you know, and also metaphorical language that makes abstract ideas feel more concrete.
And then build from there.
And then build concepts progressively, step by step. If you're a scientist explaining, say, climate feedback loops, you don't start with the technical term. You might start with something familiar, like compound interest, or maybe a snowball rolling downhill, getting bigger and faster.
Right. Start familiar, then introduce the new concept.
Exactly. Yeah. Build the bridge.
Okay, so we've covered storytelling and explanation. What about when the goal is really to change minds?
Then we get into the tool of persuasion. But, and this is important in the TED context, it has to be ethical persuasion.
Meaning not manipulation.
Right. It means building a logical case.
Mm-hmm.
Using reason, evidence. And this is crucial, acknowledging the other side, gently addressing counterarguments.
Why is that so important?
Because if you just ignore plausible objections, you lose credibility. People think you're either hiding something or you haven't thought it through. Ethical persuasion invites the audience to follow your logic. It doesn't try to force them.
Okay. And the last tool he mentioned was about creating those aha moments.
Yeah, revelation. This isn't just dropping a surprising fact. It's about structuring the talk to build curiosity, maybe some suspense.
Setting the stage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Setting the stage to deliver a concept or an insight or maybe a powerful image or personal experience that genuinely shifts how the audience sees things permanently.
Like that Jill Bolt Taylor talk about her stroke.
Perfect example. The revelation wasn't just the medical details. It was how the experience, framed by her background as a brain scientist, completely changed her perception of consciousness itself. That was the perspective shift.
Wow. Okay, so those are the main tools. If we kind of zoom out now, what are the big overarching themes? The key messages someone listening should really take away?
I think theme number one, absolutely undeniable, is the primacy of the idea.
Get the idea right first.
Yes. We get so hung up on delivery, on slides, on looking confident. Anderson just flips that script completely. He says, spend like 80% of your prep time just clarifying what you actually want to say, your core message.
That's really empowering, isn't it? Because it suggests anyone can do this.
Totally. It doesn't matter if you're naturally shy or super charismatic. If you have a brilliant, focused idea and you structure it well, you can be an impactful communicator.
Yeah, it makes you think differently about meetings you attend. Was the person just slick, or did they actually land one clear idea that stuck with you?
Exactly. Clarity drives impact. Okay, theme two, generosity and service.
The idea that great talks are gifts.
Mm-hmm. And that shift in mindset we talked about, moving from how will I do to what can I give them. It's not just philosophical. It genuinely seems to lessen the anxiety.
Because your focus is outward on the audience, not inward on your own performance.
Right. It turns prep from this kind of self-conscious stress fest into something more like preparing a thoughtful gift.
That's a powerful reframe.
Definitely. And theme three, which kind of underpins all the techniques, really, is accessibility through empathy.
Constantly fighting that curse of knowledge.
Yes. Constantly asking, how can I connect this to what they already know? How can I build that bridge from their world to my specialized knowledge? That ability is maybe the defining trait of a great explainer.
And that's not just for TED Talks, is it? That applies everywhere.
Everywhere. Explaining a project to a colleague, talking about a new company policy, even explaining, you know, a new piece of tech to a family member.
You have to start where they are, not where you are.
Exactly.
The book seems full of these really memorable, concise ideas. Maybe we could touch on a few key quotes or lines that really capture the philosophy.
Yeah, there are some great ones. You mentioned the through line earlier, and this quote just nails its importance. The through line is the connecting theme that ties together each narrative element. Every talk should have one. If you can't summarize your talk in a single sentence, you probably don't have a coherent through line.
That's the acid test right there. Clarity or bust.
Pretty much. And then there's this one, which speaks to the bigger potential impact. Ideas are the gifts that keep giving. The right idea can change someone's life, and change lives can change the world.
That really elevates the purpose of communication, doesn't it? It's not just talking, it's potentially catalytic.
Yeah, it underscores that transformative power. And finally, maybe the one that best sums up that motivational shift we discussed. The best talks are gifts. They give the audience a new lens through which to see the world.
Providing lasting perspective, not just temporary information. I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's about enduring value.
Okay, so these are powerful concepts. How do we make this super practical? How can someone listening apply these TED principles? Like, tomorrow, In their job, maybe.
Okay, good question. Think about something common, like a job interview.
Right. High stakes communication right there.
Definitely. So instead of just listing your qualifications, like bullet points off your resume,
which everyone does,
apply the through line concept. Figure out your core value proposition in one sentence. Maybe it's, I'm the creative problem solver who turns complex challenges into actionable strategies.
Okay, got it. That's your through line.
That's your through line. Then use Anderson's narration tool. Tell specific, concise stories, anecdotes from your past experience that prove that through line. Show, don't just tell. It becomes a compelling narrative about your value, not just a list.
That sounds way more memorable.
Yeah.
What about outside of work, personal life?
The principles still apply, I think. Take a difficult conversation, maybe with a family member or a partner. Yeah. Using the through line concept can help keep the conversation focused on the actual core issue, preventing it from spiraling off into, you know, old arguments or unrelated complaints.
Keeping it on track.
Right. And that authenticity piece, maybe even strategic vulnerability, admitting your part in something, showing you understand their perspective that can build trust and connection even in tough moments.
Makes sense. And for people in leadership roles, teachers, managers.
Huge potential there. Think about how many dry data dump presentations happen.
Ugh, yes. Death by PowerPoint.
Exactly. Managers or teachers can transform those by using the explanation techniques. Don't just dive into the spreadsheet or the technical details. Start with a compelling question. Start with a relatable analogy. Start with a brief story that establishes the why. Why should the audience care? Build that empathetic bridge first.
Connect before you convey.
Perfect way to put it.
So, reflecting on the whole book, what's the biggest thing that stands out to you?
For me, it's how Anderson kind of democratizes influence. He really strips away the mystique around public speaking, the idea that you have to be born with some special charisma.
Yeah.
He basically proves that anyone with a genuinely valuable idea who is willing to put in the work to structure it clearly and share it generously, following this architecture, they can have a massive impact, especially now with the internet, this knowledge renaissance, as he calls it. It really belongs to those who learn how to clarify and communicate their thoughts effectively.
That's really empowering. What stands out for me, I think, is that final realization we discussed, that framing public speaking as a service-oriented act, as a gift,
mm-hmm.
by focusing on generosity, on giving the audience that new lens, it seems like you can sidestep so much of the paralyzing fear that comes from self-judgment and performance anxiety. It shifts the focus entirely.
It really does. It changes the whole energy of it.
It's a powerful framework for anyone who feels they have something important to share, but maybe feels held back by the fear of the spotlight.
Absolutely. It's about the idea, not the ego.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.